glad to be with you guys today. We are going to continue in our series, Family Works, and today we're going to continue to help you to gain some skills and some tools in your tool belt to help you in your home. And I am going to tackle the very tough subject today about how to restore. Now, let's see if I get that TV. Nope. There you go. How to restore harmony in your home. Okay? So that's going to be our subject matter today. And this word harmony that I chose, I was actually thinking about when we have worshipers up here. You know, they all sing the same note, but they sing with different tonalities. Like you have altos and, you know, bass and all that stuff, sopranos. And so they have to learn to listen to one another so that they could jive together, right, and have this beautiful sound. Well, it works that way in the home also, okay? It works that way in the home that you have different personalities, different, temperaments, you know, upbringings, right? Hopefully not too many have different values, but all those things come together, and we want to teach you to be able to listen to what's going on in your home so that you can help out all the different component parts, make this beautiful sound within your home, and so you have a harmonious home, okay? Well, it's always my practice before I begin to invite the Holy Spirit, which is God's presence, right? We need him here, especially tackling this kind of a concept today, right? So bow your heads with me. Father God, I thank you for your love and your mercy. Oh, Father God, I ask that you would clear out any clutter that is not of you, Lord, that you would arrest it, ask to leave, so that we can feel your presence. And Father, those that you have brought in online, Father God, I ask that you would go through this airwaves, Lord, that you would touch them right where they're at, that they could hear this message that you have designed just for them today. Now, Father, you can speak one word, and it makes all the difference. And so, Holy Spirit, just come right now. Come and have your way in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you about how to restore your harmony. And how do we lose our harmony? It's usually in conflict, right? Like I said, we have lots of different personality types. So we get in conflict, and so we need to understand that God wants us to go after those. Matter of fact, the word says in Mark 3:25, it says, Jesus said this, if a family divides itself into groups which fight each other, husband, wife, children, parents, in-laws, things like that, if they fight each other, the family will what? Fall apart, right? It will disintegrate. And so the Bible's very clear here that we need to not let our houses be filled with strife, our relationships, and have these divisions, right? We need to learn the art of pursuing harmony within those relationships. So today I'm going to take and show you a couple of things that I think will help you enable to achieve the harmony that we all desire, right, in those relationships. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is where does conflict arise out of, right, and then the reactions that causes. And then I want to spend the majority of time, though, I want to talk to you about a way of building and restoring relationships. If you go through these steps or these concepts in no particular order, but if you go through them, it will help you to become stronger and being able to preserve that, okay? So the first question is, where does this conflict come from? Now, I'm going to talk and direct it towards your home, but this works for the Middle East too, okay? Because this is God's word, right? And God's word is very blunt, and he says a very matter of fact, this is where all conflict arises. He says here in James 4, right, 1 and 2, it says, what causes fights and quarrels amongst you? Watch this. Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? Ooh, it's inside of you that's pulling it up. But I thought it was the other person. Nope, it happens here. You desire, but you do not have. You covet, but you cannot get. What you want, so you can't get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight, right? And so what the scripture is saying is that a lot of times what we find is that you have control inside of you because you get to deal with you, right? And so depending on how we grow up in life, right, how much being carnal and things like that, how much of all that takes place will show us how we battle. But we will battle when we cannot get what we want. That's what that's saying. And for some people who grew up in home, maybe they're more verbal, right, or they could be physical. And so the fight comes out that way. And for some people, they're terrified of conflict, so they just ignore it and run and hide, okay? But both of those are not the best way, right? We're going to talk about how to resolve conflict. And so we're going to look, I'm going to empower you that you can actually change the course of what's going on in those key relationships around you just by attending to understand that you have control inside of you, because the Holy Spirit's going to give you that to be able to resolve that conflict, okay? So I'm going to turn my attention to really where I want to go, which is how do you resolve conflict? How are you resolving the conflict, right? And again, the goal is to give you tools, put in your tool belt to help you. And I've broken it down into 7 parts, right, so that you could see how each one looks, and then you can figure out how to use them in your home. Now, the first one, to me, is where everybody needs to start, okay? And that is to become a Christ follower, to become a Christian, right? To let Jesus Christ be the leader of your life, right? This is what we're talking about here. This is a starting point for everybody. Well, why? Because, as I said, you want to do what you want to do. And being that type of people that we are, we want to do it our way, right? What happens is we put ourselves in a position where we're warm with God, right? We want what we want. We want to do our thing. And so the Bible says that if you and I are not fully surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're at war with him. And I know when we're at war with God, horizontally, it comes out vertically, right? Or vertically, horizontally. It spills out into your relationships. And so there's a connection there. And so you want to know that how to take and attend to conflict in your home. Well, what you need to do is you need to understand that the foundation, the rock upon which we stand for all relationships is Jesus Christ. And it shows us in Ephesians this connection when it says, together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross. That says that we can be connected, because we're connected with him, with others, and our hostility towards each other was put to death. So here you go. He's saying, because of the cross, we now have the ability to choose differently, that we can choose to act differently, to behave different, that we can run after reconciliation. That's what that is saying, right? Now, here you go. Each and every one of you, including myself, we were born into a world, and it comes from Adam and Eve all the way down, where we have a propensity towards sin, choosing opposite of what God would have for us, right? And even in the whole Old Testament, it talks about, gave us all kinds of rules and regulations, trying to show us the futility of not being able to upright ourselves, right? Now, Father God saw this going on, and so that is why he provided his son, Jesus Christ, right? He gave us Jesus Christ, and in him, Jesus came to this earth, and he was like us in all ways, but without sin, and he wanted to identify with us. He's seen our struggles, and so he walked amongst us, right? And here you go. He willingly gave his life for your sins and for that nature that we have to choose against what God has for us. And so he got up on the cross and he died for us, right? And that is the story of salvation. But here's what happened when he got on that cross. He actually opened up a door. And so he opened up the door for you to come in and to have a relationship with him. See, I meet a lot of people and they, you know, they'll tell me, I know who Jesus is. Man, I grew up. I'm American, right? I know who Jesus is. And what they're telling me in those kinds of comments is that they have a religion. They understand this concept of Jesus. But the thing is, Jesus got on the cross and opened the door so you could come in and have a relationship with him. He wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want you to have religion and rules. He wants a relationship with you. And you see, when we begin to align ourselves up with him in that relationship, your whole life changes. You see, you accept Christ as your Savior, but you also ask him to be the leader of your life. And all of a sudden, when we accept Jesus Christ, what he does is he sends the Holy Spirit to come and it resides inside of us. And all of a sudden, I get to choose something other than sin, right? I do not do the things I want to, but I do the things I shouldn't. I mean, all those conundrums that we get into where we are always leaning and something we don't want to be doing, when we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our life as leader, you can begin to access the Holy Spirit, which empowers you. It empowers you to walk out as he does, as Jesus does, right? And so this whole idea of empowerment that takes place is what you need if you're going to go after reconciliation. You need to be one with God, right? You need to walk in that, but you need to embrace also that Jesus will empower you to go after reconciliation. He is the secret sauce, okay? And so if you're here today and you feel like he's far from you, or, you know, you're like, oh, I need that. I've got some real difficulties in my life, and I know about Jesus, but I don't feel like I'm one with him. You know what? You need to be praying and saying, God, I'm today choosing to line myself up with you. Today, I'm choosing to walk into the door of a relationship with you. And again, it makes all the difference in the world, and I believe that's why God brought some of you here, just to hear that part of this message, that that's your answer. Now, when we're going into a conflict with people, first, we've got to be good with God, right? We have to belong to him. And then second, we need to learn to talk to God in the conflict, right? Now, I know, and I'm like you guys, when we get mad, boy, you know, and somebody's done something and we're in conflict, we have no problem going, yeah, 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 you know, say, we even talk to the dog about it, right? We talk ad nauseum. Here you go. But what I'm going to suggest here is that you talk to God about it first. Before you go out and talk to anybody else, right, your girlfriend, your guy friends, go and talk to the Lord about it, right? Start to talk to him, because the scripture I read earlier for you in James, it continues on. It says, you quarrel and fight, you do not have because you do not ask God. So, whoa, he's nailing us. He's saying, you need to come to me, right? The Lord's saying, come to me with all the things that you have burdensomes of, you know, things that are bothering you, the hurts, the conflicts that you're feeling. He said, come and talk to me about them. You know, his scripture says even that we can petition him, right? We can petition him for what we want. It's just like this open invitation to come and to sit like he's your best friend and just pour out your heart and your soul before him. Now, I think if we did that, it would take care of a lot of our conflict. But here's the deal. I think most of us, we look to people to answer those needs we have, right? Especially in a marriage, you look to your spouse to meet all your needs, which is impossible, especially your deep needs. You see, God has created you and me to have these needs that only he can answer. And when we look out here and we try to get our spouse or our partner, that significant person in your life, to answer them, you're going to meet with frustration because God intended it that way. He doesn't want anybody else to fill that. He says that is his spot, and he wants to fill it to you, you know, fill you up. And so here you go. I work with a lot of young people, and I'm always cautioning them, do not make, you know, another person your everything, you know, and say, oh, that's my soulmate. They're going to answer, you know, all my needs. No. It doesn't work that way. If you can learn to let Jesus Christ fill that spot for you, you know, and you're single, yay, you get a leg up on everybody else. Because part of being married is tough, that you have to learn to understand that your mate cannot meet all your needs. And here you go. Here's a red flag, because some of you are like, well, how do you know when you've done that? Because you get angry. That's your red flag. You get angry at your spouse when they don't fulfill a need you have. Whoa, you're kidding, right? No, I'm serious. Anger is one of those warning lights that we need to be careful with. So the first thing I'm going to tell you is go and sit and talk to the Lord about, you know, what's going on in your life and about some of the pains, the hurts, and the conflicts that you're ensuing. The next thing we're going to look at is analyzing the problem, right? So when you sit, you're not just sharing. But here you go. Now get this, because this is going to make a difference. You just say, come, Holy Spirit, help me. Okay? Yeah, everybody say that with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Why? Is that a hocus pocus? No. That's an acknowledgement that we need him. You know, part of the job of the Holy Spirit is to illuminate what's going on inside so you can actually see, because the Father is connected with you. Do you see that? And so it's really important to say, come, Holy Spirit, help me in analyzing this problem. Because here you go. Before you go to other people, you're with the Lord. You want to ask that critical question because he might want to show you that you're part of the problem, right? Oof, ouch, yeah. And he'll want you to answer that part that you are accountable for. It says in Matthew 7 here, why then do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, in your husband's, in your wife, in your children, right? In your in-laws, your boss, right? Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eyes and pay no attention to the log that you have in yours, right? First, take out the log, right? Take out the log out of your own eye, and then you will be clear to see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So what he's saying here is remind yourself that you are a sinner saved by grace, and there's always an element that you play, right? So you ask the Lord, you say, Lord, come and help me. Holy Spirit, help me to see, am I part of the problem? Of course you are, right? Come and show me. Am I too demanding? You know, what's going on here, Lord? Nobody's perfect, and I know that. So help me to analyze this correctly. And when we sit and we do that with the Lord, he will answer you. I guarantee you. When I go to talk to him about how Andy, I'm like, that Andy need. Lord, right? And then I can hear him, you're going to laugh. I can hear him up there going, that Sharon need, oi, 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 right? And it's because I'm part of what's going on, and I need to recognize that just like you do. So here you go. Once we've put the proper position of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, once we've decided we're going to sit and talk to him before we talk to anybody else, right? And then we're going to sit, and in that conversation, we're going to analyze the conflict, the difficulty, and see what's our part in it. Now we're ready to go and talk to somebody. Now we're ready to go talk to our spouse, and you're going to schedule a peace conference. Right? Well, what the heck is a peace conference, Sharon? Well, that's where harmony is found, right? So we want you to go after this, but here's what it looks like. I want you to schedule where you're going to have a sit-down face-to-face. Listen, it's careful. Not over text, not over email, and not on the phone. Whoa, right? Is that, I said that because I'm old? No. Listen. You need, when you're in conflict with somebody, you need them sitting across from you. You need to see their face, right? And they need to see yours. So much gets exchanged that's nonverbal. You need to be in the same place, right? And in that place, when you schedule your time with them, you want to make sure that this conference is taking into consideration the different things that come up. Like you have the same time, right? Or that you guys can agree upon the same time. Like for me, I know that I should never try to talk to Andy after 8. It don't work, not well, right? And he knows, never talk to me before 10 a.m., right? I'm not a morning person and stuff. So that leaves you this much time, but that's when I schedule because timing is everything. And then where do you go to have this conversation? Very important, especially if you're at home and you have children. Okay, you need to make sure that you choose a place that's neutral, that where you can share. You know, I remember when Andy and I were first married, and Andy, we had the church in our house, our staff, right? And I had 3 little kids. It was really tough. And both Andy and I, you know, we had these conflicts, and so we need to talk about them. And we thought, well, that won't do to hear everybody screaming, you know, yelling at each other or something. So what we had to do is we chose a time when I could get childcare, right? Somebody to help with the kids. And we had to go outside of our home. So we ended up, State Seashore Park often, walking the trails. And we would vent. We would share, right, what was going on because it's really important to be able to share. Now, this idea of a peace conference is so important. There you go. In Matthew, Jesus puts this premium on it. He says, if you are about to offer your gift to God at the altar, and there you remember, right? It's not the other person remembering, it's you. You remember that your brother, your wife, your husband, so forth, has something against you. Leave your gift at the altar. Go once and make peace with your brother, with your spouse, right? And then come back to offer your gift to the Lord. Now, I love this because nothing has a higher premium in God's universe, in his world, than that we would worship him. But he says even the worship, he wants to place before that relational relational, you know, the relational exchange between two people. So if you're in here and you know you have a conflict with somebody, right? Well, then the Lord's saying, yeah, just you can get up and go, right? Because that he wants you to take care of that first before you come back in here. It's really important that you get that, right? Because I think we think, oh, nothing's more important than me worshiping God. But really, he's putting a premium here on saying, no, conflict, it needs to be resolved. You need to be able to figure out a time and a place where you guys can come together. This is going to be very important. The Lord watches us. The Lord watches us, guys, right? Because he loves us and because we are children of the God Most High. And so he wants us to attend to those difficulties. And you might be mad at me, but, you know, I was praying with you and I was praying for you. And here's the deal. I asked God to bring and to drop names in your head as I was speaking, right? To put people that if you're not walking in peace and in harmony with them, to drop them in your mind so that you would have a practical person to look at and say, that's what she wants me to do? Hey, yay, yay, right? And so this is something the Father is working with us. Now, after we have scheduled this meeting, then we're going to establish some game rules, right, before our meeting. This is the way we want to see it go down, right? So I'm suggesting, yes, that you set game rules. This is how we're going to fight fair. This is going to how we're going to communicate. This is what the boundaries are going to look like. Now, guys, I've been married almost 35 years, right? And here's what I know. I did everything wrong, right? So I had the school of hard knocks for a lot of this. So I'm going to give you some wisdom. These are some things that if you can eliminate them in your and create a boundary that you're not going to go in there and do these things, it'll go a lot better for you when you talk, okay? So they are, right, never compare. Never compare. You're just like your mother. Controlling, right? Or you're like your dad. You're narcissistic, right? I mean, those are not, it's not good to compare. But what if they are like that? Who cares? It don't help you to call it out in the relationship. Or it could be somebody like, oh, why can't you be like Billy? Right? Or, oh, why can't you look like Mary Sue? Don't compare. It's like a ditch. You fall in and you spend all your time trying to get out of that ditch. Right? So we never compare. We also never condemn. Never condemn. Where we say things like, you should, you never, right? And these statements of absolute, you know, you're always like that. Right? It's like condemning that person. Listen, your job is not to condemn the person that you're in relationship with. That's God's job, okay? So here's something I found that's helpful, is if you start using the I statements. In other words, I feel like this when this happens. My perception of what just went down looks like this. And so what happens when you use those I words, everything gets... the temperature comes down, it's not as threatening, and it helps to facilitate conversation. So you don't want to use anything that's condemning there. You also never want to command. You never want to be so forceful in your argument. I'm the head of this household. I'm the boss. Okay? Anytime you have to invoke, even though it's true, anytime you have to invoke that, you lost. Hey, wake up, you lost. That's what happens. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to force a title or rights. This is my right. You don't want to do that because it doesn't help. It doesn't help solve the conflict, okay? So we don't command. We also don't challenge, right? And this comes from being a kid, 101. Remember that when you're out in the playground and somebody draws a line in the sand and says, I dare you to step over that. What are you going to do? Exactly. You step over it, right? Why? Because we are rebellious in nature. We're just going to take that challenge and we're going to do whatever it is. So don't challenge. If you do that, no sex for you tonight. Oh, I just hurt somebody there, right? If you do that, I'm going to decrease the amount of money comes your way. If you do that, I'm going to divorce you. Oof. Right? Don't challenge people. Don't challenge them. Don't use those cards that I just played, those three. Money, sex, and divorce. Don't use them. They are like, they are so bad for marriage. We do not want to use them. We want to take those off the table. They can't be part of our conflict and our, you know, our conversation that they're going to be withdrawn if you don't do what we want you to do, okay? Next thing is condescending, right? That if you've got something that you understand better than somebody else, don't treat them as inferior. You know, like you have the emotional capacity of a snail, right? Don't do that. Or you have the logic, you know, of the walrus. Whatever it is, don't condescend to them. Just kind of understand that's just the way God created them. And so, you know, don't use your language and don't play psychologist on your important person in your life. The next one is, the contradict, right? This is how this thing happens, right? They start sharing something, and they don't get it right because they missed a fact. And you want to jump in and help to straighten that thing up. So they're right in the middle, and you go, whoa, wait a minute, because you're the great lawyer. Well, that did not happen that way. I did not say that, right? So we jump right in over them, and we squanch them before they can express themselves, right? And so we think faster than we can talk, and we're already thinking all these thoughts. And so we need to know that it's our job to keep quiet while they're talking. To keep quiet. Listen, keep quiet when they're talking and try really hard to listen. And if you hear something that's not correct, you can do what I do. I write it down. Because inside of me, I'm like bursting at the seams to say, you got it wrong, right? But that doesn't help her. It doesn't help the relationship. You must learn to allow them to go, and then you go. Well, Sharon, they start talking, and it's like 10 minutes before they get to the point. Long-suffering, patience, kindness, right? And even you can come into the conversation saying, we're only going to take 5 minutes apiece. 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. It feels autocratic, you know, like, really? But it helps. It helps you, right? So you don't want to jump into the person. And then this is my favorite that I was the worst at doing. Here, I'm going to own it. It's confusion, right? So here's how it works. We might be on a subject matter, but you see, all month long, I have been taking, that bugs me, put it in a bag. That was wrong, put it in a bag. This is going to problem here. And then all of a sudden, when something explodes, I've got like a Santa Claus, a gunny sack full of issues. So we sit down to talk about the one issue, right? And as we're trying then, I'm going, that reminds me. Let me get in my sack. Matter of fact, just take the whole sack, right? So now you have tons of issues, right? Poor Andy used to go, oh, I can't multitask, right? Here's the thing. You got to stay on one topic at a time, right? And one issue at a time. Even though it has spiders all over the place, you know, it has veins, stay on the one topic as best you can and find some resolve there before you pull out another. And you can have as many peace conferences as you need, but you need to be able to stay on the one. Now, I just gave you a whole bunch of never do's, right? And if you're smart, you're writing them down, right? A lot of pain and suffering to come up with those, right? Here's the deal. You and I, when we're married to people for a long time, especially, or we've been in a relationship, we know how to push their buttons, right? And yet the scripture tells us here in Proverbs, it says, the fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. So we might know how to push buttons, emotional ones, mental ones, right, even physical ones, but our job is to make sure that we detach and we don't do that because that only destroys, right? We need to establish some game rules so that the person feels like they can sit and share and you feel like you can sit and share. And yours might look different than the ones I put up here might expand differently. But the whole thing I've been trying to teach you is how to fight fair. Whoa, you're teaching us to fight? Yes, I am. Because I happen to believe that men and women especially, and if you're in a marriage, one is a fork and one is a knife. You are not to be the same instrument. You were created differently, and that's going to create some conflict, and you got to know how to navigate that conflict. You got to know how to fight fair, okay? And so these things I've shared with you, those are tools in your tool belt. Now I'm going to continue to push on. The sixth thing I want you to think about is switching your focus. To switch your focus. When you're in conflict with somebody, right? You know, our focus goes on our own pain and our anger and our angst, right? We're very self-centered people, right? And so I want to show you that we need to walk that back. We need to pull that back and become unselfish, as Scripture tells us. Look out for others' interests, not just for your own. Whoa. Okay? The attitude you should have is the one that Christ had. And so here's what I want you to see here. How in the heck, when somebody has offended you, they hurt you, they're disrespecting you, they don't love you like you need to, how in the world are you going to look at them and go, I want to change my focus off of my own feelings and onto yours? It ain't going to happen. It's just not. Here you go. The difference maker, again, is the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, this is the secret sauce. When you have the Holy Spirit, right? You can be sitting across from something because this is so powerful and it comes on you and you begin to see that other person in a different light, right? Because Andy could be sharing with me and I could be oh so mad and I've got I know where I'm going, right? And yet I sit and when I ask the Holy Spirit to come and help me to have a different, a wider, a bigger perspective than my feelings and my hurt or my disappointment, right? I'll be down. This happens all the time, right? He begins to show me the heart of Andy. And so I begin to see somebody who's been hurt, who's got issues, who those are part of his mechanism and his way of dealing with things, and he can't access something. And I tell you, on the other side, I'm like, gosh, I can feel it. Oh, I don't want to feel it. I don't want to, because then I start having compassion. I start having compassion, right, for the other person. When you invite the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you he will show up. I guarantee you he will show the tenderness of the other person to you because he is all about resolving conflict. And it starts with the person that's asking, come, Holy Spirit, right? And so it doesn't matter what your mate or your partner is doing. You need to be calling upon him and saying, change my perspective here. Show me if I have a part to play. It's not his problem, but it's our problem. It's ours to be solved, okay? And so here you go. In the midst of this conflict, right, we learn that we can't get what we want. But you see, if I've gone to the Father, right, and I've sat with him, I've talked to him, and I'm with him, you know what? He doesn't just, like, download to me, this is how you're going to win this argument, Sharon. But he downloads to me his heart and his compassion. So when I'm there, I'm able to hear, and we're able to have a dialogue. And you know that magic word that is often said and it dispels a lot of arguments is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I was just looking at me. I was being selfish. Now, once I pick Andy up off the floor when I say that, right? Because that's a huge statement. I'm sorry, I was just looking out for me. We do this. When we do this, it changes the focus from the person, and it actually puts it right back on Christ and saying, Lord, I want to move as you say, right? I'm coming to you getting my answers, and so I can go to that person now, not needing them to fulfill something, but looking to run alongside them and encourage them. It changes the tempo of an argument. It just does. And it's not just a spouse. It works with kids. It works with especially young adults, right? Those of you that have young adults in your home, oh, God help you, right? It's tough. I thought youth was tough. No, young adults is tough, okay? But God will be there. He'll help you to know how to talk with them, and he does change our perspective. Now, he'll change it, and he helps you if you don't give up, right? Here's what I know. I want you to stay in the fight. I want you to stick in there. I want you to walk through the whole tunnel of conflict, right? I see most people will want to withdraw. They don't want to go through the tunnel. Like, why do I have to? Because you're human, and you will have disagreements. And so you need to get accustomed to the what we call the tunnel of conflict. And the tunnel, let me tell you, this has a beginning, a middle, and an end to it. And I think if you can remember that, then you're not apt to run as much, right? So the stages of conflict is you recognize it. We have a problem. Now you think, well, gosh, really? Do you know I've talked to people and they didn't realize they have a problem until the person walks out, right? Because they refused to see the signs and what was going on and to begin to really dialogue, right? So that's the first part. That's there's a tunnel of conflict that exists here. Am I going to step into it? That's the next thing here. Number two is we react, right? We get into the tunnel of conflict. And you know that tunnel of conflict is dark, and it is oh so scary, right? It's emotional. You know, there might be raising of voices, might be tears, hurtful things said, bitterness, anger, resentment. All those things happen, right, in that tunnel of conflict. But listen, if you will stay the process in the tunnel of conflict, it does pop out on the other end. It pops out on the other end because you're too tired to fight, right? You pop out on the other end, and you are looking now to reaction. What are we going to do? What are we going to do about this problem? So then we have a solution. So what I want you to see is that the tunnel of conflict has a beginning, it has a process, and it has an end, okay? And we need to become masters of walking through that and not short circuit it and just give up because it's so dang scary in the, you know, the tunnel, right? That's what I hear. Most people, well, if they can enter into it, right? The brave souls, about 80% can, but then they don't want to stay in that tunnel. Oh, gosh, it hurts. And every fiber of your being says, run, Will Robinson, run! Get out of town, go as fast as you can and as far as you can from this, right? Every fiber of your being doesn't want to be in that tunnel. But you see, it's important that you stay in the tunnel. Because, listen, because resolving one's issues is better than dissolving the relationship. And you want to be able to find that resolving, right, of the conflict so that you can preserve the relationship. One without the other doesn't have it. You need to know you're going to go in one direction or the other. It's like a Y in the road. And so you have to be careful because every decision that you make to leave that tunnel of conflict, you're taking one step further in dissolving the relationship. I can't be more perfect and clearer than that. And here you go. Holy Spirit says to make sure you know that if you don't grow weary in doing good, staying in the tunnel, walking through that, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest. We do not, you know, if you do not give up. Listen, I understand people want to give up, but I don't want you to give up. You know, as your pastor, right, one who loves you, who prays for you, I've been asking the Lord to bless your families, you know, to bless your relationships with your kids and your extended families, right, to bless those, but it's going to require you to walk through tunnels of conflict, and you have to know that you can do this, that God has given you himself in the form of the Holy Spirit to help you. So you see, each and every one of you has homework. Each and every one of you has homework. And here's what it is. What's your next step to bring the harmony in your home with your kids, your adult kids, with your in-laws, right? And with your other extended family members? We all can do better, right? At bringing that harmony together so you can have your altos and you can have your bass and your tenors. Let's all sing and listen to each other so that we can achieve the harmony that God had intended for us. Bow your heads with me. Father God, I thank you for your love and your mercy. I thank you that you are present here. I understand, Father, that this message was really hard for some people, and I touched some real tender places. And so, Father, I ask right now that your salve, your Holy Spirit would go and that you would cause them to be able to breathe a sigh. To say, here it is, Father. Here it is, it's right in my face. Father, would you speak to them even now? Oh, I hear there are some of you that you journey a lot. and you've had a lot of conflict around you, you've been trying to figure it out, and yet the very source is because you've been walking in a religion. You know about Jesus, but you haven't fully embraced the relationship part of it. Yeah, I see that. Even those online. That's the first place you need to go. You need to not be at war with God. It's not your way. It's His way. And so Father's calling you right now into a relationship with Him. He's given you His Son, Jesus Christ. And He had me presented as a door. Because there's some of you, you need to, that door's open. You just need to step through it. And so today I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that, whether you're watching online or you're here. The Father wants you to be able to know that when you walk through there, yeah, I hear that, you walk through, He says, on the other side, what you find is forgiveness, you find healing, you find wholeness in your relationships. And so here you go. What are you to do with that? Well, those of you in this auditorium, what I'm going to do with every eye is closed and yeah, every head is bowed, I'm going to ask you to declare that you want to walk through that. So I'm going to ask you to be brave in a moment and raise your hand. Those watching online, you see, this is a spiritual thing and God sees it. And so right there where you are in your home or you're at work or wherever you are listening to this message, I'm going to encourage you to raise your hand. Also, because there's a spiritual significance that happens. So if you want to walk through this door to have this relationship exchange, I'm going to encourage you in the auditorium just to shoot your hand up so I can see it now. And those online, you could go ahead and do that now. Yep, just keep it up for a moment. There you go. Anybody else want to join them? Okay. Put your hands down. Now I'm going to lead you in a prayer right this moment. I want you to say this. Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I want a relationship. I don't want a religion. And I ask Jesus the best way I know how that you would forgive me for missing it, for hurting people around me, but mostly for not following you. And so I ask now, Jesus, that you would send the Holy Spirit to live inside of me. I need that. The best way I understand, I give you my complete life. You are the leader of my life from this moment forward. Holy Spirit, I thank you that those that were praying that, Father, that you received it. That you received it, and that you wrote their name in the book of life, and that they are yours, Father. Now I ask that you empower them, that you would send the Holy Spirit to begin to illuminate their life so they can see how to follow after you in everything. And Father God, I know that you said that this would be a tough message for many. And so for those of you that are struggling personally with this message, how do I know you're struggling? Because you had lots of, well, you don't really understand. Father says he understands and he has empowered you to move forward, but it requires you to be humble. And so I'm going to lead you in a prayer right where you're at. You just say, Father God, I'll be daggone if you didn't get me today. I am hurt. I'm angry. And I'm so disappointed. I need something, Father. And I've been looking to other people to fill it. Please hear my prayer. Hear my prayer, Father. Answer me. Equip me and show me how to have that peace conference. Equip me with your wisdom and your discernment. And Father, push in on my self-centeredness. All I can see is my hurt. And I desire, Father, to be a child of the God Most High. And so, Holy Spirit, come and empower me to stand and walk upright, to pursue my relationships, to make them to have a harmony to them, a sound that is well-pleasing to you. I see that, and that would draw all those who watch, Father, to your throne. Now, Lord, I ask that these people that I've been praying for would have sticky feet. They would not leave their marriage. They would not leave the commitments that they've made. That they would fight fair, Lord. And that they would be able to fulfill the purpose which you put them together. Now, I thank you, Lord, for that. And we give you all that I've talked about and all that they prayed for. And we put it under your blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, guys. Well, those of you that open the door to Christ, I want you to tell somebody about it. So I provided a card for you. You can tell me by filling out that card and saying, this is what I did today, right? Or you can come forward and we will pray for you after the service and you can talk to me there about it. And your cards, they all go in those clear boxes when you leave. And I know, because I could feel it, something the Lord does in me. I could feel it in here, the angst that many people had about relationships. And so I encourage you to write it down. You don't have to put your name, but to write it down as a prayer so that can come up before the Lord, because the prayer warriors will take every Saturday, and even during the week, they pray for you, okay? So you'll want to write that down so we can encourage you through prayer also as you're trying to navigate that conflict and find that harmony in your home, okay? All right, now we did say it's first Wednesday coming up, right? And I hope you join us. It's going to be a grand time. I know Pastor Parker's teaching. He's one of my favorites. I enjoy him. So come and listen to him. And then today is Growth Track 1. Pastor Andy is teaching today, right? Yay. So he'll be teaching that class, and you go and talk to him as much as you like, and that kind of helps set direction for where the church is going, all right? All right, so why doesn't everybody stand up? And this is also a time, if this is your home and you want to give, you can give. The QR codes and all the ways to give are up there. Or if you just feel like you want to sponsor this ministry, you go right ahead and you can send that in. All right? Well, at the first of the month, I always like to pray for those that call this their home especially. And then your tithing and your offerings and stuff come here. Believe it's very scriptural. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to close this in prayer. We're going to go back into worship, one more song. But could you flip your hand just in front of you, just like this? I want to place a blessing in your hands. All right? There you go. Father God, for each person, Father, that is trying hard to follow you, I ask not only that the Holy Spirit would descend upon them, Father, but where they have met your challenges for tithing, Father, and forgiving, I ask, Lord God, that you would bless them. As your word says, you bless them, shake it down and shake it over, that they would be not just have enough, but they would have more than enough so that they can continue to be generous, Father. Now, I thank you for the funds and the work of the Lord here at this church and for all its family members. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.